Leviticus chapter 19.
Well, help us, Lord. Okay, everybody, put on your seatbelts. I believe it's going to get rough. Luke chapter 6. Please understand before we start that this is not to discourage you, this is to encourage you. I can almost guarantee that some of these verses you're not going to like. In fact, there might be most of them, but they're in the Bible. So it's important to God, it should be important to us, right?
Amen.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, there's nothing will be done this morning if you don't help me, Lord. Pray that you just have control now, that you give me the wherewithal, Lord. Let me be the messenger that you use this day to not only encourage and edify me, but to encourage and edify each and every Christian in this room, Lord. And if there's somebody, and I don't know the hearts like you do, but if there's someone here that hasn't personally asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior, I pray that you'd draw them to you this morning, that they would realize that they are sinning on their way to hell without the salvation of Jesus, that they needed to be cleared of their sin by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ spilt on Calvary. Lord, help them. And then help each and every one of us Christians to be hearers of the word, and then for us to be doers of the word. Open our ears and soften our hearts. Teach us and show us and guide us and direct us as only you can. And I pray all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. All right, now if you would out loud, please, everybody, if you would read Luke chapter 6, verse number 46.
Why call your name, Lord, Lord, you're not to give with
us? All together now.
Okay. And why call ye me, Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?
Well, why? Why do you call him Lord, Lord, and do not the things that he says? You call him Lord, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, do you or don't you?
Yes, sir.
Are you doing what he says to do? Then why call him Lord?
Come on, brother. Come on.
Isn't that just being a hypocrite?
Right, amen, brother. Right.
Well, isn't it? We say we're saved. We say we believe Jesus Christ is salvation, and all our life is. How many of you have believe salvation is the greatest thing ever happened?
Amen.
How come you don't act like it? Well, how many people in here are glad they're saved?
Amen.
You ought to look at your face. This is Christian happiness.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm saved. Oh yeah.
Amen.
Oh yeah, joy. Joy unspeakable.
Absolutely.
What? No wonder they don't want what you have.
Right.
You don't even want what you have. First, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, chapter 3. You know what, Christian? We call him Lord, Lord. You can't say you don't, because you do. And you don't do what he says? I mean, I'm going to give you verses that you've already seen before, but I'm going to give them in the context that you're supposed to, not only you're supposed to read them, you're supposed to do them. God says obedience is better than sacrifice. Right? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Second Timothy 3, starting verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. How much scripture?
All.
How much?
All.
And it's profitable. How many of you understand what profitable means? Anybody here want to be profitable?
No.
Well, it's profitable in doctrine, it's profitable for reproof, it's profitable for correction, it's profitable for instruction in righteousness. And why would God do that? That the man of God may be perfect. Throughly, old English word for completely, throughly furnished unto all good works. You know why you're not doing the good works you're supposed to do? Because you're not doing what he says. All scripture is given by inspiration. It's profitable for what? Instruction in righteousness. How much of the scripture is profitable for instruction? Well, what do you do with all the scripture? You don't even know. You haven't read all the scripture. I hope you've read it all. If you haven't, maybe you ought to start. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Here's the problem with Christians. You start in the book of Genesis, you get to chapter 36, and you figure you know everything. Well, you get the book of Numbers and you get tired of reading about who had who and how many they had. Like it didn't make any difference. But yet the Bible says all scripture is given by, right? So it must be profitable for something. Right? You get into 1st and 2nd Chronicles and you get all kinds of names and you can't even pronounce most of them. And you get bogged down, get in Ezekiel, and you learn about wheels and wires and flashing lights and what? Get into Leviticus and learn about all the laws and all the rules and all the regulations, and you got chapter after chapter after chapter about how the temple's looking and how much gold is here and how much silver is there and how much. You know what you do? You pick and choose what you want to know. That's not how God wants you to do it. James chapter 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. How many can figure out what that means right now? What does it mean to be swift to hear? What does it mean to be slow to speak? Here's what I've told people before, and I'll tell you today. How many people in this room have two ears? Go ahead, raise your hand. God knows who you are. All right, how many people here have one mouth? How many people listen twice as much as they talk? Well, you got two ears. If God wants you to talk more, he'll give you another mouth. Just one big ear here and two mouths here. Right? How many of you have ever done this? Interrupted someone while they were talking before they completed the sentence because you knew what they were going to say. And yet the Bible clearly states, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. You know why your wrath comes more often than it should? You're not listening. You're talking. Just trying to help. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. What do we need to do? We need to do what God says to do. Will God ever ask you to do something that's wrong? Then what's the problem? Well, I don't want to do it. Here. But I don't want to. We ought to have God get out the big paddle. Every time you don't want to do it, take you into the other room and change your attitude. Well, 2 Timothy 1, verse number 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Are you doing what God wants you to do? I don't know. Are you afraid of this world? Are you afraid of the government? Are you afraid of what's going to happen? Who's in charge? Well, why don't we trust him?
Amen. Sir.
Does God know if you're hungry?
Yes, sir.
Does God know if you need clothing, place to stay? Does he take care of you? When was the last time he failed you? Lord, help me. I don't want to be a failure. I don't want to be a failure in your eyes, because if I'm a failure in your eyes, I'll be a failure in everybody else's eyes. I should get to the point where I don't care what you think about me. I should care about what God thinks about me. And it just seems that that's just hard for Christians to do. We're more concerned about the person next to us or the person behind us than we are to the person that's above us. God, help me to be the Christian I'm supposed to be. Not the Christian someone thinks I'm supposed to be. Not the Christian I think I'm supposed to be. I want to be the Christian you want me to be. When a man's ways please the Lord, isn't that what it says? It says he maketh. Your enemies don't have a choice. God makes them to be at peace with you. Why? Because you please God. Just tell me what it says. 2 Timothy 2, look at verse 1. The Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Has God forgiven you? Christian, has God forgiven you? How many times? How many? And you're not willing to forgive someone else? Well, you don't understand, brother. I don't have to. I got scripture. How many times are you supposed to forgive your brother? Seven? Seven? What's it say? 70 times seven? How much is that for you people from MIT? How much is that? All right, let me ask you a question now. When's the last time someone did something wrong to you and you looked at them in the face and you say, "Now listen, you only have 489 more times." And then that's it, pal. You and I are at the end. You know what we're good for most of the time? Twice. And how many times has God forgiven you? "Oh Lord, I'll never do it again." What? Didn't you tell me that last week? But Lord, Lord, help us. 1 Timothy, since everybody likes Timothy so well, 1 Timothy chapter 2, what are we supposed to do? Well, we call him Lord, Lord, and we don't even do the simple things. I'm not even getting into the difficult things. These are just simple things. Hey, shut up a minute. And listen, this is how bad we are. I'm in Walmart. Lord, help me. And someone is on their phone. "Hi, just call to let you know I'm in Walmart." Get a life. What did we ever do before we had a phone that you had to actually dial? Whoa, it took like a whole 20 seconds to die. And now it's just push button one and you got instant contact to someone. Texting. Sitting next to someone and texting them. Come on, folks. That just don't make any sense. And worse than that, it's been done in churches. I've seen it. While the preacher's preaching. There's going to be some rewards in heaven for that. Well, praise God anyway. All right, where did we go? I know we went somewhere. 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting verse 1. "I exhort, therefore, that first of all..." How many of you know what that means? First of all. Does that mean that would be the second thing you did? What would it be? first thing. All right, what's the first thing? Well, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for everybody we like. That's what your Bible says? Be made for who? All right, here's the question. How many of you prayed for President Obama today? Well, you call him Lord, Lord. Don't you call him Lord, Lord? I mean Jesus. You call him Lord, Lord? What did he just tell you to do? Well, read it. First of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And just so you didn't make sure you got it, verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. You praying for President Obama to get saved?
Yes, sir.
Does President Obama need to get saved?
Yes, he
does. Yes, he does. Do you want him to get saved?
Yes, I do.
Then why don't you pray for him?
Come on.
You think it might be better if he got saved?
Amen.
What about all the other people in the Congress and the Senate?
Sure. Okay.
And the judges? And the governors, and your boss, and your family, and the people you don't even know. Well, first of all, we're supposed to pray for what? All men, especially for the kings and those in authority. Wouldn't it be great if the governor of Alabama became a Christian and said, okay, here's what we're going to do, we're putting prayer back in school in Alabama. The Ten Commandments will go on the wall. I want every child to know, thou shalt not kill. So maybe that'll stop. This is the United States of America. We take the Bible out of school. When they get to jail, we give it back to them.
Yeah.
What? That's backwards. Maybe if they had the Bible in school, they wouldn't make it to jail. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. 1 Peter chapter 3, just in case you're confused. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Listen, we could spend the whole month of March, the whole month of April, May, June, July, August, just continue on and go through the Bible and find out what we're supposed to do. Well, that's right, you do that already. You go to church every day, right? Here's the problem with us Christians. The service we missed is the service God wants us to be at. When he was going to talk directly to us about things that were directly in our lives, that were directly doing what wrong. And we had something better to do. What could be better than hearing from God? I can't think of anything. Well, I just wonder if there's if I could somehow write to all the pastors that I know and have them write down on a piece of paper five of the most common excuses they get for people not coming to church, and then just put out a book. Everybody in this room has an excuse for not coming to church, and your excuse is a good one, because it's yours. 1 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 8. The Bible says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Continue on, verse 10, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Well, does that need to be explained? Probably, but we won't. Why would you say that, preacher? Because how many of you ever read that before? Well, what are you doing with it? Since it seems to be a direct order, so to speak, from the Lord. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to watch what you say. You're supposed to watch how you act. You're supposed to watch what you think about. Just seems real simple. It's just difficult. You know why it's difficult? Because you do not want to do it. Anybody here do what they want to do? Anybody? How easy is that? It's pretty easy, isn't it? How many of you do what you don't want to do? That's not real easy, is it? I don't want to do that. What are we supposed to do? Well, finally, be ye all of one mind. What kind of mind? The mind that Jesus has. What was Jesus? He was a servant. What did he do? He humbled himself. He was obedient to the Father. He was obedient unto death. And God's not asking you to do that. You know what God's asking you? As much as is in you, live peaceably with all men. As much as is in you. Are you a Christian? I don't know, are you? Here's the verse. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? I don't know about you, but I need to apologize to God. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I've been a hypocrite in your eyes. I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry I've called you Lord, Lord, and been completely disobedient. On purpose. Now, sometimes accidental, but on purpose I've been disobedient. I am not going to do that. I don't care what the Bible says. Well, that's how you are. I mean, I'm not trying to pick on you. I'm just trying to enlighten you to what's going on in life. If we could find just one Christian that would be obedient to God, we'd know it. We'd know it. Their life would change. They'd have a completely different countenance than anybody. It would be like a glow. Sure. You have that opportunity, so do I, to be obedient to God. Second Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1. Well, I can't do it. Watch yourself now. 2 Peter chapter 1. I know this is going to be a short message, but the reason that I'm going to make it as short as it is because there's a whole lot to think about. Yep. And maybe we can spend some time today either here at the altar or sitting in our chair and just saying, God, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't care about anybody else, God. What I'm caring about is you. Because I do call you Lord, Lord. And I do not do the things which you say. But I want to. Will you help me? Lord, will you help me? I want to be obedient. I've been so disobedient for so long, Lord, I don't even realize I'm doing it anymore. But I don't want to be that way. I want to be the Christian that makes a difference. 2 Peter. What I was going to start in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That would be us, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir.
We have obtained the like precious faith. Now look what it says here, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us how many things? How many? By his divine power, God has given us all things, now look what it says, that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Well, that about sums it up. What has God given you? All things that pertain unto life and godliness. What do you need to do what you're supposed to do? According to this verse, you don't need anything. God's already given it to you. Well, isn't that what it just said? Is that what it said?
Yes, sir.
Why aren't you doing it then? Listen now, it can't be his fault. It can't be his fault. The blame's got to sit right there with you. You're the one that has the choice. And you make that choice every single day. Who are you going to live for today? Well, I'm going to live for me. All right, go ahead. Who are you going to live for? Well, I'm going to live for the devil. He's been so good to me. Now, I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but we have some gentlemen up here in the front row, and you know what? They're not here because they want to be. They're here because they disobeyed. And some of them are going to learn that obedience is better than disobedience. Some of them aren't. And it's going to take time again. Time again, time again. Eventually, Lord willing, they're going to get beat up and knocked down and depressed and discouraged enough times where they're going to just say, okay, God, I'm going to do it your way. Because my way just ain't working. And Christians, there's some of you sitting back there right now, it's the same thing for you. This is the definition of insanity. Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. How many times do you have to get knocked down before you realize you're in the wrong place? Well, I mean, I have a lot of empathy, a lot of sympathy. 25 years, I thought I could handle it. 25 years I thought I could drink when I wanted to and smoke dope and snort coke when I wanted to. 25 years. Well, be sure your sin will find you out. I can stand here today and tell you there are years in my life, years that I don't even remember. Why? Drugs and alcohol. Oh, I'm having a good time. What? Why call ye me Lord, Lord? Are you saved?
Yes, sir.
Start doing right. Are you saved?
Yes, sir.
Start doing what he says. All right, in conclusion, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I didn't try to pick on anybody. I'm just trying to read Scripture. If you got offended, I apologize. But I can guarantee that you ought to take it up with God. Tell him. Just flat tell him you're so brave. Tell him, God, I didn't like that. He'll help you. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. What are we supposed to do? Well, since God's given us everything we need to be godly and to be the Christian he wants us to be, maybe we ought to hold fast to the promises that he's given us. You know what he told me? Just like he told you, he would never leave you. He would never forsake you. You needed help, he'd help you. You needed courage, he'd give you courage. You needed strength, he'd strengthen you. You know what we do? We sit and we listen. We get affected while we're in church. We walk through the doors in the back, go outside and get in the car. And on the way home, we just forget. Maybe we ought to bow our heads and close our eyes and say, Lord, burden me. Burden me this day with this message so that I can be doer of the word and not a hearer only. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Now see, I don't know how you are with the Lord. I don't know how your personal relationship is. If you're saved, praise God. But how close are you to him? How's your fellowship? Have you been talking to the Lord lately, have you? Maybe this will be the day you could come up here or wherever you sit and you could say, Lord, I want to be the Christian you want me to be. I want to be obedient. Help me, Lord. Help me to be obedient. Heavenly Father, Lord, I can't speak for anybody in this room, but I can speak for myself. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, you know my heart breaks. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry that even with the knowledge that I have of all the scripture that I know, that I'm still not a doer of the word. Lord, I pray that you'd help me, that you burden me. Lord, don't let me get away with anything. Give me the mind I need to have, Lord. Give me the heart I need to have. And Lord, I pray that you direct my steps. Help me, Father, to be the Christian that's faithful, the Christian that's a servant, the Christian that's obedient. Help me, Lord, to be the Christian that is pleasing in your sight. And Father, if there's someone else in this room, Lord, help them. Lord, help them. Father, I thank you and I praise you. I pray all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen.